We'll go ahead.
He's right there, back.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, all we have is public hearing today, right? Okay. I will open a public hearing, I believe, on both, actually, SB 5540 and SB 5541. We already have about 10 people signed up to testify, so we'll limit people to, hopefully they can try to limit themselves to 4 minutes, but they'll have five. So I will call up the first group, plus I'll call up Mr. Whitman first, and then Kelly Beamer, along with Mr. Whitman.
If I could.
Oh, okay.
Sure, one.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you'd please identify yourself for the record.
For the record, Richard Whitman, Governor Brown's Natural Resource Advisor. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I have with me Maida Lofsgaarden, the Director of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and Kathy Connolly from Budget and Management at DAS.
Okay.
And I've asked them up, and the purpose of my coming up, Chair Devlin, members of the committee, is to just revisit a couple of things in the budget presentation from last Thursday for the Watershed Enhancement Board and give the committee a little bit more context of how these things fit in to some of the overall initiatives in the budget. So I've handed out to members of the committee two things. First of all, a copy of the slides that were presented on Thursday that looks like this, that starts with working forest and farms. And then another piece, which actually two pieces, one of which has a table at the top and the other one has a nice color graph at the top. So I want to talk first about the Working Farm and Forest Initiative very briefly. This is a package of proposals that are in a number of different agency budgets, all with the intent of preserving and conserving working farms and forests in the state of Oregon. If you look at the one pager with the table at the top, you'll see from that table that Oregon has been quite successful in retaining its working farm and forest lands relative to the state of Washington. However, there are a number of threats to our working farms and forests. We've seen in other states, particularly as ownership patterns change on our working lands, that those lands may go into real estate investment trust or other entities that are not necessarily as active in managing those lands as some of our owners have traditionally been. So another issue on our working lands is on our federal forest lands and our issues with forest health, with wildfire, with increasing temperature and drier forest conditions, and then also maintaining the mill infrastructure in rural Oregon as well. So the working farm and forest pieces in the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board budget that relate to this are twofold. First of all, a recapitalization of the grant program for federal forest collaboratives. This program has been quite successful. This biennium has had close to 20 applications already and has funded forest collaboratives around the state. Forest collaboratives are collaborative processes to come to a local consensus on federal forest management and have been shown to increase the supply of wood coming off our federal forest, dealing therefore with both the fire issue as well as keeping our mill infrastructure going. The second piece is the $15 million grant program that would be administered by OEB. This is a new program that would fund conservation easements in long-term conservation agreements, primarily on working farmland, in order to, when we have a new owner of those lands, both keep those lands in working status and also attain conservation benefits. The second piece that I want to emphasize is the Clean Water Partnership. And that is OEB's piece of that is $387,000. for two monitoring positions. And again, referring to the one pager with the graph at the top, the purpose of this overall initiative is to deal with the fact that we are essentially flatlined on trends in water quality across the state. We made a lot of progress in the 1990s and early 2000s, but for the last 10 years, we've been more or less static on water quality. So we have a series of packages in a number of agency budgets, including this agency, OWEB, to improve our ability to target the investments we are already making in water quality so that we get a more significant improvement in water quality. And the two packages, the two positions at OWEB for that package are a key part of the monitoring effort for the Clean Water Partnership. I'm going to come back before the committee at the budget presentation for the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and go through the Clean Water Partnership in more detail in the context of that budget presentation, so you'll get a more comprehensive view of that initiative at that time. Similarly, on the Forest Collaborative package, when the Oregon Department of Forestry comes up, we'll do a more comprehensive overview of that package. But again, I just wanted to draw your attention to the key pieces for these larger initiatives that are in OWEB's budget. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Yes, Senator Dembo.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So looking at all of this kind of at a broad, almost philosophical level, you know, we often hear about, you know, conflicts between environmental concerns and economic development concerns. And, you know, what I'm seeing in some of these programs is an effort to use the, you know, the good offices of OWEB in order to make both happen at the same time, right? Actually, I first met Mehta, I think it was at the Frontier Summit, where we were talking about how to reinvigorate the frontier economy. And it seems that, you know, the OWEB has an important role to play there in terms of making sure that, you know, whether you're talking about water quality trading or, you know, whatever, that, you know, efforts to develop the rural economy, the natural resources in the rural economy, you know, create some potential stresses on the environment that need to be mitigated somehow or overseen. So, you know, could you speak a little more broadly as to how this fits into that broader agenda?
Chair Devlin, Senator Dembro, I'd be happy to do that. As you know, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board is a non-regulatory entity, so they fund things that are not about regulation. They don't fund regulatory efforts. But we, right now, as a state government, as federal government, local government, even the private sector, are investing tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in watershed conservation, restoration, water quality around the state. And the effort here in the Clean Water Partnership that OWEB is an important part of is to make sure that we're spending that significant amount of money in the most beneficial way possible in two regards. One, first of all, with regard to the environment, to make sure we're maximizing the improvements we get in water quality. We're targeting those funds to where they're needed most. And then secondly, in terms of jobs, two things. First of all, there's the direct job creation that results from the on-the-ground watershed restoration projects that occur here. And I think if Mehta hasn't presented that as part of her budget presentation already, I'm sure she can get you those figures. But speaking more broadly and longer term, this effort is really part of an effort to make sure that our agricultural economy and our forest economy, which are our number two and number three economies in the state of Oregon, remain sustainable and growing is a vibrant part of Oregon's economy. If you look at the unemployment figures across the state, we all know that rural Oregon has not participated to the same extent as many of our metro areas. And so making sure that our agricultural economy is sustainable and that we don't get into future situations as a result of federal regulation, but providing that strong platform is part of what this program is about.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have about 10 people to testify, so if you limit yourself to about 4 to 5 minutes. Kelly Beamer and Jerry Nicholson. Please proceed at your...
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Rayfield. Co-Chair Rayfield. Good morning, Co-Chair Devlin and committee members. For the record, my name is Kelly Beamer. I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts. We're a statewide association that represents 19 land trusts that work with willing landowners and community partners to protect water quality, quantity, wildlife and fish habitat, open space, farms and forests throughout the state. I'm here today to speak in support of Senate Bill 5540 and 5541. COLT, which is the acronym for the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts, submitted joint written testimony today in partnership with the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils and the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts. Our testimony demonstrates that all three organizations are strongly in support for the critical conservation programs provided by the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Our members, land trusts, soil and water conservation districts, and watershed councils each provide unique but complementary tools for voluntary conservation throughout the state. To give you a little sense of what that means on the ground, I passed out a report that is called the State of the Lands Report that the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts recently produced to show give you a little sense of the collective impact of land trusts in Oregon, how these entities work and where they work. The first few pages show some statistics about our collective work to conserve. We were able to show that over 300,000 acres in Oregon are protected through the hands of our 19-member land trusts, from the Willow Mountains to the coast to the Rogue Valley. And together, our land trusts employ 170 full-time FTEs throughout the state. More importantly, you'll see seven conservation stories profiled. I just want to highlight that five of those seven stories were made possible because of the investment of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board through their land acquisition grants. Director Lofsgaarden referenced a few of those success stories last Thursday, but I'll just highlight again that Deschutes Land Trust in Wyschutes Creek is working very hard with irrigators and watershed councils across the state, or across the Central Oregon, to restore Wyschutes Creek and really bring a watershed back to life. Another story featured in the report is the delisting of the Oregon Chub. We had a great victory last month when this was the first fish species to be delisted from the federal list. Bald Hill Farm outside of Corvallis is an incredible recreation hub and working farm that also provides critical prairie habitat for three federally listed species. We've also featured the North Coast Land Conservancy that through an OEB investment was able to restore property along the Nacanicum River that opened up Highway 101 during high flood seasons that would otherwise experience traffic stops and disrupt the flow of the highway. And lastly, Table Rocks was a great investment made by OEB for a land acquisition project where the Nature Conservancy is partnering with the Grand Ronde Tribe to jointly manage and conserve over 4,000 acres in the heart of the Rogue Valley. So to date, OEB has awarded approximately $40 million to land acquisition grants that are leveraged multiple times over to protect approximately 60,000 acres in Oregon. Just on Friday, we had one of our members produce a video that shows the really unique partnership that we see all over the field with our member groups, the districts, the watershed councils, and land trusts. And I was hoping to, hopefully I'm not over my 5 minutes if I show this, it'll be about 3 minutes. But this is a story about a working farm, demonstration farm, on the McKinsey River called the Berggren Farm.
We'll have to stay closer to 4 minutes.
We can cut it.
We have a program that we started that's a healthy farm, like clean this. Water, where we try to help farmers in the McKinsey be economic.
What?
Chemical use, increase riparian buffers, and farm really helps us achieve that goal by helping to demonstrate and show other farmers what sustainable, watershed-friendly farming is. And that farming and floodplain can coexist in a way that's beneficial to both. The McKinsey is our sole source of drinking water for about 200,000 people. We have a program that we started that's Healthy Farms, Clean Water, where we try to help farmers in the McKinsey be economically viable so they stay farming while they reduce their chemical use, increase riparian buffers, and have access to local markets. The Berggren Farm really helps us achieve that goal by helping to demonstrate and show other farmers what sustainable, watershed-friendly farming is, and that farming and floodplain can coexist in a way that's beneficial to both.
So the McKinsey River Trust acquired the Berggren Watershed Conservation Area in 2010. This part of the lower McKinsey River has been a high priority for the conservation of clean water, fish and wildlife habitat, and increasingly for its farmlands as well.
We farm using organic farming practices. We're mostly raising livestock, and we have a 1 acre vegetable plot down in the lower field to help demonstrate how you can do vegetable production on a larger scale without having negative impacts on water quality. We bring people out here for tours, we do workshops. I definitely think that we're having an impact for the greater farming community.
A lot of the skill sets we gained that year were specifically focused around how do you start a farm from scratch. The proper seedling mix for starting seeds in a greenhouse, all the way up through being an ethical steward of a sensitive landscape like a riparian zone next to a river. If there were more farms out there that replicated the model that Berggren's developed, there would be a lot more people growing food, and it would create a much more resilient local community.
The Berggren Farm is a great operation. Clean water is really one of the fundamental reasons why we're located here, why we've been able to hire 106 people and families to join our team here at the brewery. That extends out to the other industries that we support here, as well as the groups that work to build these facilities and help us to be successful.
We make it a point to really let people know that like what we are doing is local and organic. And I mean, we're doing it because we believe in it, but it's not just the stewardship of the land, but it's, you know, great produce. We can keep our local people employed. We can further our education of young farmers. We can keep our watershed safe and clean. It's extremely important.
So the investments that we can make now in these sorts of collaborative projects will pay off in 50 and 100 years as healthy, vibrant communities where people enjoy clean water, access to healthy natural areas, locally produced food, produced by families who can continue to make a living with the work that they're doing in agriculture.
So UWEB's investment in a project like this really has a great return for our ratepayers because it allows us to maintain clean water and a healthy watershed for future generations, which reduces our treatment costs, and other utilities are looking at this model.
What Berggren provides is the passing on of wisdom, because it would be wonderful if my son Theo was able to go to Berggren so that farming will be a reality and accessible to his children and to his grandchildren.
Okay. Mr. Nicholson.
Mr. Chairman, Members of the committee, my name is Jerry Nicolescu. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts, and I'm one of the three partners up here that you've seen the letter. Excuse me. And we are here in support of Senate Bill 5540 and 5541. As I listened last week to OEB's presentation, I was struck by their mission. It says to help protect and restore healthy watersheds and natural habitats that support thriving communities and strong economics. And I was struck by the word to help, which means that they've understood and they realize they can't do it by themselves. And so I want to concentrate on a couple things real quickly this morning. One is the building capacity that they talked about in their presentation, and building capacity of a number of entities, in particular soil and water conservation districts. And now with the partnership that we're in, working with the network and watershed councils out there, we look at those, building those capacities of those. Build better districts, build better watershed councils. Now in the working with Colt, we are bringing in some easement training and things like that. So the people on the ground that are doing the work are getting and building that capacity to handle a lot of projects, know how to do things to get it done better. And the other thing is building partnerships. I want to talk a little bit about building partnerships. We have many instances of that, and we'll see that in two things that Richard Whitman talked about this morning. Talked about the Clean Water Initiative, the things that they're going there. This will help districts in a great deal. We have 45 districts. All of them now have a focus area that they're dealing with watersheds and dealing with water quality on a holistic basis. Going down that road. And then we have strategic initiative areas where districts are more focusing in, and not so much on a voluntary basis, but looking and working with the Department of Ag, getting where they need to go to address ag water quality over time. So we support that clean water partnership in OEB's budget. But the thing I want to really point out is the partnership, and I'll tell you about one thing that is really moving on the partnership, and that comes in the other, the Forest and Farms Bill. Recently, we had the opportunity to apply with the Regional Conservation Partnership Program, a USDA program part of this. Oregon turned in the third highest number of applications in the nation. We also picked up 6 applications, which was more than any state in the union, and 4 of those are connected with districts. Wheeler with juniper, Wasco with irrigation, Yamhill with oak savanna, and then a large coalition of 27 different entities, state, federal, local, private entities in the Oregon model to protect sage grouse. This is an 11 state habitat. This was the only sage grouse project selected out of those 11 states. For the project was $9 million, $4 million for technical assistance in the field, $5 million for financial assistance, and part of that financial assistance will go toward the end for easements and work that we'll do there. This is a coalition of 11 districts, 7 counties, like I said, numerous. It was written by a coalition of districts. This will cover 3.5 million acres of private ground out of 9.7 total habitat in Oregon. It will deal with fire, invasives, conifer, grazing systems. And in the interest of time, I would take any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. We'll go on to Mr. Gordon and Mr. Pope. And could the committee assistant check to see if there's anybody additional signed up? Please proceed.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, committee members. My name is Ryan Gordon, and I'm the executive director of the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils. Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning with my colleagues, Jerry and Kelly, to testify in support of Senate Bills 5540 and 5541. Just real briefly, the network supports the efforts of nearly 90 watershed councils statewide by helping to increase their capacity and building key relationships and also promoting public awareness of the work that they do. You've all seen the joint letter that we submitted. I also, like Kelly, handed out a little booklet that I thought would be interesting for you to learn a little bit about some of the work and some of the projects that councils have done. And we have a number of folks behind us here today who I think are going to give you a pretty good idea of how a lot of that work is getting done on the ground. And so I'd like to take a moment to talk a little bit about sort of my perspective on the value of OWEB's investment in what really is a unique community-based model that we have here in Oregon. Jerry and Kelly and I have a lot of fun working together, and I think that's great for me because sometimes it's really difficult for us to see the value or the impact of the work that we do because of the level that we're kind of working at. But when I think kind of statewide about what we're trying to do, and I think about the conversation that OWEB has been helping to lead over the last few years, I am really pleased by the progress that I see we're making in terms of starting a really valuable conversation about how our three groups, councils, districts, and land trusts, can be working together to accomplish greater objectives across the landscape. And I think, you know, Jerry talked a little bit about the Regional Conservation Partnership Program grant that OACD has received from NRCS. And that's a really great example of sort of where that conversation is going. And when I sit and talk with the folks at NRCS who work, you know, of course, nationwide and have programs in every state, one of the things that they're really impressed by is the level of genuine collaboration that we have here in Oregon between councils, districts, and land trusts and other partners. And that really wouldn't be possible without the support of OWEB providing our groups with the funding and other resources that they need to be able to accomplish work at the ground level and to really be able to leverage resources, not just at the state level, but at the federal level, align the critical partnerships and relationships that they have with landowners to build projects that really do address key conservation issues across the state, while at the same time, I think, having a number of other valuable impacts on rural economies, on providing educational opportunities for students and schools, et cetera. And so I guess I would just close by saying that that's the one part of this job that I really do enjoy, and I really look forward to continuing to be part of that conversation and working with them to make the best of this investment from OWEB. Appreciate your time, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Mr. Pope, we'll go to questions.
Thank you. Co-chairs Devlin and Rayfield, members of the committee, I am Michael Pope, Executive Director of Greenbelt Land Trust. We are located in Corvallis and work throughout the Mid-Willamette Valley. I'm testifying in support of Senate Bills 5540 and 5541. Funding allocated through these measures will continue to support the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board's mission of protecting and restoring the quality of our streams, rivers, wetlands, and natural areas, and making our economies in communities healthier and stronger. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board has been an invaluable partner with our organization since 2002. Some examples of this partnership includes the Bald Hill Farm, 600 acres farm that Kelly mentioned, 10 minutes from downtown Corvallis. This property was slated to be broken up into different parcels. It's now an intact farm that produces natural grass-fed beef and sheep, contains over 3 miles of trails that link to two other public parks, and provides an incredible array of opportunities for our community in respect to looking at wetlands and creeks and oak and conifer forest and acting as a living laboratory for our community. Another example is protection of over 1,000 acres of a Willamette River floodplain. These floodplains and their back channels are invaluable habitats for spring chinook and other wildlife species and fish species. They also provide capacity for storing and filtering water to improve water quality for our communities and buffer our more valuable farmlands from the impacts of floods. A final example is last December, our board president's wife gave birth to a daughter at Good Samaritan Hospital in North Corvallis. The birthing rooms of this hospital overlook legacy oak trees on Owens Farm. So a new generation of Oregonians are viewing a legacy of Oregon's past. This Owens property was in part protected by money from Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. So this funding from this organization is absolutely critical for the maintaining the legacy of Oregon. It's a common legacy that reaches throughout the state. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Mr. Gordon or Mr. Pope? Seeing none, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
I'll call up Ms. Croson and Mr. Riley.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and Chair Rayfield. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify this morning in support of SB 5540 and 5541. My name is Holly Crossan. I'm the Executive Director of the Benton Soil and Water Conservation District. And we work throughout Benton County to engage rural and urban residents in the conservation and stewardship of natural resources. With the assistance of OWEB and Oregon Department of Agriculture funding, our programs help protect water quality, fish and wildlife habitat, improve soil health. We work a lot to help landowners improve the productivity of the lands that they live and work on. We work in close collaboration with many different partners, the watershed councils, land trusts, Oregon State University, farmers, and hundreds of landowners throughout the county. We're a really small district. We have just 6 full-time employees, including myself, but our impact is really far-reaching and relevant to the residents of Benton County. Since 2000, the Oregon Department of Agriculture has awarded us over $650,000 to conduct conservation work throughout the county through their technical assistance funds and local management area funds. And we've used that money to leverage over $1,400,000 from the OWEB Technical Assistance Restoration Grants, as well as the small grant program. We've leveraged another $2 million to work throughout our county, money provided by the Soil and Water Conservation District, landowners, farmers, and other organizations. Over 15 years, we've received OWEB Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program funds through OWEB, and that has resulted in the restoration of over 500 acres of riparian buffers along 15 miles of streams throughout Benton County. ODA funding also makes it possible for us to do site visits and technical assistance to over 200 landowners in Benton County every year. And a lot of those visits result in voluntary work to improve practices on their lands that help improve water quality. In January of 2015, we received OWEB Willamette SIP funding, the Special Investment Partnership. That was over $200,000, and we've been able to leverage that funding and are going to be working with more than 30 partner organizations throughout the county, implementing on-the-ground restoration projects along a 20-mile stretch of the Willamette main stem. That Willamette SIP funding from OWEB has enabled us to leverage more than an additional $218,000 from the Meyer Memorial Trust, Bonneville Power Administration, and the Oregon State Weed Board. And in addition, We have leveraged that OWEB funding for another $71,000 from local landowners, the Benton SWCD, and local businesses. So I just wanted to say thank you very much for the support from the legislature, OWEB, and ODA. Without that support, we wouldn't have the broad successes that we have today. And I'll keep it short and answer any questions.
Okay. We'll go to questions after Mr. Riley.
Good morning, Co-Chair Devlins and Rayfield. Committee members, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you this morning. My name is Eric Riley. I'm the Executive Director for the Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers. It's a watershed council in Douglas County. And I'd like to tell you a little story about the importance of OWEB to watershed councils throughout the state, and I'm going to break it down to a local level, in particular the Umpqua Basin. As far as watershed councils go, the Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers is a relatively large council. We have 7 full-time employees, about a $2 million budget annually, and OWEB makes up 44% of that funding. The other 56 comes from local partners, other state and federal agencies, and landowners in our projects. Those figures do not include the in-kind services, materials that we do get from our partners. That's just cash money. And I know you guys last Thursday heard a lot on figures, but what does all that get you? And at the local level, not only do you get the ecological uplift that you heard about last Thursday, but there's also an economic boost within the rural communities throughout Oregon. Ecologically speaking, in the Umpqua Basin, there's about 15 projects, in-stream restoration projects per year, which cover about 20 miles of critical salmon habitat. The Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers does about anywhere from 8 to 10 of those projects annually, and we cover close to 15 miles of restoration work each year. This does not include riparian restoration work or fish passage work. That's above that or on top of that. And you can imagine, and I know you guys know the ecological boost that comes from that. Economically speaking, in a rural community, it's kind of a topic that's I feel lesser discussed, and I wanted to bring that to point today. The eco trust study that came out a few years ago, you guys probably know, about 80%. Of every dollar spent in restoration work stays in Douglas County. And 90% or 90 cents of every dollar stays in the state of Oregon. And what that means to the Partnership for the Umpqua Rivers and Douglas County, here's an example. In 2011-12, we had $2.1 million come in grant funding to local contractors, vendors, and staff for the Watershed Council. Over the last 3 years, we've averaged $1.8 million coming into the local community, and that alone has helped a big portion of Douglas County's restoration economy grow. As you can see just by those simple figures, OWEB has been an important, extremely important partner to Watershed Councils, not only in Douglas County, but throughout the state. And with that, I'm open for your questions.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Croson or Mr. Riley? Yes.
I just want to make sure that the committee recognize that we have 3 of my constituents who are here today. So that's all. That's
okay.
Thank you guys for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next two are Ms. Mel Omeg and Joe Mall.
It's a pleasure to be here today, and of course we're hoping that you'll have support for Senate Bill 5540 and 5541. I'm Mel Omeg. Okay. First of all, chairmen, members of the committee, it's a pleasure to see you and listening to what's being said. I'm Mel Omeg. I'm a cherry grower from Wasco County, a member of the Soil Water Conservation Commission, elected officer on the OACD board, and chair of Wasco SWCD. So I spend a lot of time in contact with people involved in activities of conservation in those organizations. What I want to mention is some comments about the interaction between SWCDs, trusts, and watersheds, the people things, who's doing the work, employees, because you're hearing a lot about funding, but I want to give a report on the change that has happened in recent years between the relationship of those organizations. 10 years ago, the SWCDs and watersheds operated in their own realm, often suspicious of the other's work and motives, each with its own budget, staff, and competing for community support and for volunteers and dollars. There was much discussion about competing for those tax dollars, even on the state level. Very little cooperation existed between those two and many counties. What's brought the change? Several things. There's limited tax dollars, there's tighter budgets, and a recognition from OWEB and ODA's leadership that partnering and collaboration between these three organizations, meaning including land trusts, will provide a greater impact in conservation throughout the state. I've really noticed a big change in attitude between many SWCDs and watersheds. I'm talking about boards, managers, employees, and especially those volunteers. There is that realization, the collaboration, forging relations with local knowledge and resources will better serve all of us that are dedicated to conservation. Now, I want to give you a few examples of some good things that are happening, and I'm sure this is some of the districts that you have. Nestucca, Neskowan, Sand Lake Watershed. I've had a chance to attend a couple of their board meetings, and Alex Sifford, who's their watershed coordinator, is an excellent leader. And one thing that impressed me then was to see members from the Tillamook SWCD sitting on their board, talking, working together, setting plans to resolve conservation issues. Now, that's true in Hood River Soil and Water District. That's true in Yamhill and Clackamas with their 10 watersheds. And so there are a number of other districts, but those are the ones I've experienced firsthand. I want to make a couple comments about Wasco County. Wasco SWCD has 5 watersheds, all represented on the Soil and Water Board. Now, how'd we do that? They're either elected director or we appoint them as an associate director. So here you are in the SWC board meeting. Now, maybe these folks won't all get to vote unless they're elected director, but we have the interface. We're talking about things. We're working at plans to solve problems. The more of that kind of activities we have, the greater cooperation we'll get and more progress we'll make. Sherman County SWC is working with the OWEB staff, specifically Courtney Schaff, and I'm telling you, she's a great gal. She's out there, and we're trying to get these districts to set up a plan so they can earn their capacity grant to fund their watershed coordinator. Now, there's some changes that have been brought in because OWEB is saying we've got to manage our money and leadership different and set our plans somewhat like the SWCDs. And so that's change. And anytime you have change, you know, there's some concerns expressed by folks that would be involved with that. But it's happening. Another thing is we're doing some joint planning for our annual convention between OACD and the Network of Watershed Councils. Interaction. Now, these things wouldn't happen if we didn't have some funding from the legislature. And I want to say that I've been very impressed with the OWEB staff, the ODA staff, and I really enjoy these land trust leaders. Now, I'll tell you what, 10 years ago, that just wouldn't have happened. And I'm finding, so I'm out there saying, well, now, you know, those land trust people, listen, don't to directors and SWCDs. Look and see how it fits in. That's part of the law that OWEB is responsible for, is helping land trusts. So we're building an understanding with land trusts and SWCDs. But I want to give you two examples of partnering.
Mr. Omega, if you could finish in about 1 minute.
I think I can. I want to just quickly say that we had a high level of E. coli in a creek through Wasco County. That was a cooperative project we solved. The DEQ provided the supportive testing. And what happened was we found this leaky pipeline. There was a city line. Of course, all the agencies around there said it wasn't them. But we did find it. We got that solved. The other thing is Columbia Land Trust acquired land for a trust on Mill Creek Ridge. There were a lot of obnoxious weeds, and the SWCD provided a participating grant and technical assistance to help the land trust solve that problem. So that's, thank you.
Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Thank you. For the record, Joe Mall. I'm the executive director of the Mackenzie River Trust, a land trust based in Eugene, Oregon. I've been here for a little over 10 years. I worked for the state of Montana and the Nature Conservancy in Montana for about 15 years before that. And Mel and I didn't meet until this morning, just now, but the parallels in our testimony and in what I'd like you to think about are telling, I think, of just what he pointed out. The Mackenzie River Trust has certainly been a strong partner and been supported by OWEB over the years on projects as diverse as the protection of spruce forests out on the coast near Yahats to a 1,000-plus-acre island at the confluence of the Mackenzie and the Willamette River. You saw our involvement on the Mackenzie River and the Bergen Farm there. I hope my forehead isn't as wrinkled today as it was in that film. And both in these experiences here and all of these projects, as well as the experience I had in Montana, the thing that really holds us back in that melding of conservation and economic development is starting from a position of trust. It is something that has been lacking and is growing, and it's growing because of investments in incentives-based conservation like those provided by OWEB. I'll give you one story from Montana. I was responsible for the protection of livestock and other things from grizzly bear damage in Montana. And we dealt with some of the angriest ranchers, understandably so, who had just lost some of their flocks. But when they saw that the system provided accountability, predictability, reciprocity, that when a grizzly bear repeatedly took out flocks, that grizzly bear would be taken out of the system. When they saw us come in, trap, and remove that bear and kill those bears, it developed a sense of trust in that community that allowed us to come back in and work with those landowners on cleaning up boneyards, putting electric fencing around beehives and other attractants. And it changed the nature. And if you look at what's going on in some of those places in Montana now, you're seeing ranchers going to Washington, D.C. to speak on behalf of conservation investments. That's what's happening here with the investments in OWEB as well. And I hope that just the very nature of the work that you all do, you understand the importance of starting from a position of trust. It's also been pointed out how real these projects are, whether or not we're sending our timber to mills or we're helicoptering them into Schofield Creek down on the Umpqua, whether or not we're taking our grass and feeding it to cows or we're providing new habitat for western meadowlarks, whether or not our water is going to Ninkasi's beer and all of the economic multiplier of that, or it's going into side channels for Oregon chub and spawning Chinook salmon. Those are investments that pay off for my children and their children, and I hope you'll continue to support that with the support of 5540 and 5541. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Omega or Mr. Mall? Yes, Senator Hansel.
Well, in all due respect to Representative Rayfield, I want to point out that much of Mr. Omega's district is in my senatorial district.
Good. Anything additional? Any more revelations from the committee? Hearing none. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming such a considerable distance. Melissa Graper. Is there anyone who hasn't testified yet who would like to? Okay. Please proceed.
Oh, boy, I'll by myself up here. All right. Good morning.
co-chairs Devlin and committee members. My name is Melissa Graper, and I thank you for the opportunity to give you a little bit of insight in my support for Senate Bill 5540 and 5541. My name is Melissa Graper. I am the coordinator for the Neconicum Watershed Council located in Seaside. The Neconicum Watershed Council is a nonprofit organization of community volunteers who work to ensure that our watershed is healthy and functioning ecosystem. Through community outreach and education, landowner partnerships, and on-the-ground habitat development projects, we work to further understanding about our watershed and make sure it has a sustainable future. And as you've heard, OWEB provides significant support for restoration projects. Eric Riley represents a large watershed council in the Umpqua area, and I represent a relatively small watershed council, yet our projects are fairly similar. In the Neconicum, OWEB has helped to fund projects like the rehabilitation of the City of Seaside's municipal water diversion. We've replaced a culvert with the city of or with the school district in Seaside, and we do numerous large wood projects and other habitat restoration projects with our landowners. Yet OWEB also provides significant funds for capacity support that allow watershed councils to develop those projects, as well as work on focusing and on developing strategic partnerships. And I'd like to share an example with you guys of one of those partnerships. Recently, the Watershed Council worked with the City of Seaside to replace a small dock on one of our tributaries to the Neconicum on the Neawana. This dock was an old, very small dock, but still utilized by the local park and recreation district, the school district, and a number of other community groups. Through the ability of OWEB to have capacity support, the Watershed Council was able to be a resource to the City of Seaside and help them leverage their Hood to Coast funds with some funds from ODFNW's Restoration Enhancement Program. And just last Tuesday, I was the first boat in the water on our brand new ADA accessible kayak and canoe launch. It's one of the first in the state. It's pretty exciting to have it there, and it wouldn't be there without the support of OWEB and providing capacity support for watershed councils like mine, like Eric's, and like watershed councils around the state. So I just wanted to share a little story about what OWEB means to a small council on the coast. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Is there anyone else who has not testified? Would the director, do you want to make any closing statements, or no?
Not at this time.
And the representative from DAS, anything? No?
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, that concludes our hearing, and the phase one consideration of OWEB. We'll be back to OWEB a little bit later in the session. So thank you very much, and we are adjourned. And we are adjourned.